If you would, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 once again. And I want to continue on from last week. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's read verses 11 through 14. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, I started last week and basically going to continue on, in whom, in him. Whenever Paul's writing, in whom here, he's saying in him. There's no question. It's in Christ. Now, last week I did talk about that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, Christ is going to gather together in one all things. In him. In himself. That's going to happen. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not sure about this afternoon. I think a nap is in my future. But other than that, and sometimes that doesn't work out, but other than that, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this is going to happen. The apostle to the Gentiles has wrote this down for us. Jesus Christ is going to gather together all things that pertain to him in one. Again, he is going to reunite, and there will be unity. There will be. We've got it guaranteed. Now, if you notice, it's kind of a strange thing, but this is the way the Apostle Paul wrote it. At the beginning of the chapter, we deal with things from before the foundation of the world. He hath chosen us before the foundation. In verse 5 it says he's predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, but to the praise of his glory. And we have redemption through his blood. All those things are in the past. Then he comes to having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's the present. Then we have verse 10, that's the future, although it is happening now. Jesus Christ is gathering his children together. But there is going to be that final gathering in one, in the future. But now he comes back here in verse 11 to this present time. This is where we are right now. If you believe Christ, we are in whom? Right now. Now, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Right now. Right now. If you know Christ, if you've been brought to Christ, if you are in Christ, if you are in him, we are heirs of God. Right now. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the reason they use that word is because we do have an inheritance. There's something more coming for the child of God, for the son of God, for the daughter of God. There's something more coming. That's what he says in verse 10. There's going to be this gathering together. There's going to be the redemption of the body. There's going to be this mortal putting on immortality. This corruption is going to be made incorruptible. We have that promise, that inheritance, to look forward to now. If all we have is this world, what Paul said, we are of all men most miserable. This is not all we have. Even though what we have now is glorious in Him, is true in Him, but we have an inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Christians, believers, should be happy people. Paul, could you get me a bottle of water? I forgot. And I'm already getting dry. Now, I don't want anybody to be... thank you, sir. Dismayed or apprehensive about where it says we have obtained an inheritance. That's the way it's translated. That's what it means. But in the Greek, that is a passive verb. Obtained is a passive word. You didn't go and get yourself an inheritance. It is given to you. Just like if someone dies and leaves you something in their will, you inherit it. You didn't do nothing for it. You didn't earn it. It wasn't yours to start with. Somebody gave it to you. That's how we have obtained an inheritance. We do have it. But we were passive in the getting of an inheritance. Because actually those three words, obtained an inheritance, is translated from one of them long Greek words. And it means to allot. It means to assign an inheritance. We have been assigned an inheritance. In whom? In Christ. It's in Christ. It's all in Christ. And just in case you weren't sure about that, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things out after the counsel of His own will. Now that predestinated is active, but that's not us. We're passive. He's active. That's the way the salvation of God works. He's active. We're passive. Now, there will be actions on our part as it comes down to it here later. But as far as the salvation is concerned, as far as the inheritance is concerned, what, even what's coming, we're passive. It's His actions. It's in whom we have obtained an inheritance. We did nothing in obtaining an inheritance that we were predestinated unto. And we were passive, did nothing in being predestinated. Some people can't handle that. But this is the way Christ works. It's the work of God. It's in whom? It's all in Him. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's a word as a conjunction that means here's a conclusion. Here's what this is leading up to. We've obtained an inheritance. We've been predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. I just listened to a message coming up the road, a man talking about this. That's that first question in the Westminster Catechism, Walter. I think it is. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. Now, it is to your benefit that you obtain this inheritance. That is beneficial to you personally. But there is an overall purpose, and the overall purpose is after the counsel of his will, and to the praise of him, to the praise of the glory of God. We do talk about, and we do mean, that salvation is personal to each and every individual. But salvation as a whole is to glorify God. And salvation individually is to glorify God. It's to the praise, to the honor of his grace. Why? It's his work. It's in him. It's in whom? It's in Christ. He's the one that did all the work. In our obtaining of anything, is always, if you can check it, in salvation, is passive. And every time you see a verb connected with what Christ did and Christ's work and the Father's work and the Spirit's work, you'll see that verb is active. And usually it's indicative. It means it's a fact. There's no question about it. Because the work is his, and he's done it, and he's doing it, and he shall do it. Why? To the praise and the honor and the glory of his grace, to the praise of him, that there should be no boasting. Now, it's not God that shouldn't boast, it's us. And we will. That's why we have to be told not to. But there are people around, and we're surrounded by them. Walter just drove past the open door of Free Will Baptist Church. Heresy's right on the window. It's on the sign, right outside. No, no. It's his work. It's not the work of our will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Therein lies perfection and nowhere else. Therein lies salvation and nowhere else. Why? To the praise and to the honor, the praise of his glory. His glory. His glory is what matters, not ours. We don't have any glory. Anytime you want to talk about sin, you can include us in. Anytime you want to talk about glory, you better leave us out. Amen. Except in him. In him we do have glory. In whom we do. And we are to the praise of his glory. Present, active, tense. We are. Literally, it means that we be. That's bad English. That's why they didn't write it that way. We exist. Our existence is to the praise of his glory. That he has saved us from being dead in trespasses and sins, and that we exist in his presence. God acknowledges us in Christ only, but he acknowledges us, our existence. We are not as the small dust of the balance now in him. In him. We're nothing in and of ourselves but flesh. But in him, we have it all. We're going to be gathered together in one at that end, in unity, again. We were with him, in him, before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all united. And we were there, in him. And at the end, it's going to be exactly the same. Those that were in him before the foundation of the world are going to be in him at the end. Every single one. Because why? That's the counsel of his will. That's what he told us. And it's going to be to the praise of his glory. We are his workmanship. Paul's going to say that next chapter. I'll skip to it. That's why we're to the praise of his glory. We're his workmanship. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. I like that. I am not a very good carpenter. I can use screws and nails, and most of the time I can use a saw without cutting anything other than what I mean to cut. Occasionally I cut extra things, like the table or the sawhorse. But his workmanship is perfect. His workmanship is to the praise of his glory. And we are his workmanship. He's made us to the praise of his glory. In whom? In him. And we exist for the glory of God in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I like this. You got one verse and you got two in whom's. Now, the first thing I do want to point out is this word trusted is italicized. And it's added actually in by the translators. And to be perfectly honest, I like it better outside. Young's literal translation puts it this way. It says, in whom ye also, having heard the word of faith, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, ye were sealed. Because they're trying to, they added this in, said, in whom ye also trusted. Well, Paul gets to that. You believe. But it's not in this first little part. Because I want to tell you something. In whom is where you heard the word of truth. It's not in whom you trusted. Although you did trust. But if you've heard the word of truth, and that's the word logos there, that generally has a tendency to point to Christ. If you've heard the word of truth, it's because you're in whom. And no other reason. Because the gospel was preached to them as well as unto us. That's what it says. But it did not profit them. And then he tells you why. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you're not in whom, you're not going to hear the word of truth. That's the bottom line. And if you are in whom, you will hear the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. That Jesus Christ has paid all of the debt. That he was made to be sin who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That in him stuff shows up everywhere. Because everything is in him of any value. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, he's that for us. God made him wisdom, righteousness, sanctification to us, for us. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that word heard is active. We do actively hear. Now, you will only actively hear after somebody gives you ears that hear. What did Stephen tell those Jews? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, even as your fathers did, so do ye. If your ears are uncircumcised, you're not going to hear the word of truth. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. How can you believe in him in whom you've not heard? You are going to hear. You will hear. God will send you a person to tell you the gospel. Whether it's a fellow in person, could be Henry Mahan on TV 30 years ago. Been there, done that. I heard the word of truth from Henry Mahan 30 years ago on a television. It's hard to hear the word of truth on television today. Let's just put it that way. There's a couple, but usually they're on when I'm here. There is so much error, so much that is not the word of truth, that is not the gospel of your salvation. See, Jesus doing most of it doesn't help me any. Because I can't do anything. And he'll bring you to the place where you know you can't do anything. So God doing most of it is of no help. O thou God of my salvation, my Redeemer from all sins. I like that song. At least that verse of it. Because if he's not the God of your salvation, he's not your God at all. And if he's not the God of all your salvation, you got no hope. Because you are without strength, dead in trespasses and sin, in the world, if you're not in whom? But we do hear, and the good news of your salvation is also in whom? Now, it says, and I had a right round of stuff about this. I've been mulling on this, Walter, all week. And I know exactly what Ted James means because I was halfway between thinking and a stupor at times. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You will not believe what is written down in places about that part of that verse of Scripture and what people say about it. Because you are sealed. And it does say, after ye believe. And that believe, that's one of the active places too. Your hearing is active when he gives you ears, and your believing is active. Now it is that word faith, faithing, which we don't have a verb for. Verb form of faith, the noun. And it is directly derived from the faith that God gives, which Paul's going to teach later. But we do believe. And after that, ye are sealed. And man, I'm telling you, people went all over the place with this thing. You would not believe. I don't have time to go into it. But they were here, they were there, there were second helpings, there was higher living, there's all kind of stuff. But what I want to try and lay it out just as plain as I can and the way I think God has taught me. I'm going to tell you something. And we've said it here a lot of times. Things happen and things change after God gives you life. Okay? You start to see. And sometimes the first thing you see is that you realize you're surrounded by darkness. And I said it a few weeks ago, and I meant it. It is a great blessing to be able to recognize that you are surrounded by darkness. Because you've always been surrounded by darkness. You were darkness. But you didn't know it. That's one of the first things. Some of the first things I remember, Walter, that God taught me is that I may not know what's right, but I know that's wrong. Now, I was in a Catholic church, so it wasn't all that hard to point out stuff to me. There was a time when a fellow stood up, and he said, if you did this, and I still, to this day, I can't remember what he was even talking about. He said to me, and he said to the congregation, if you did that, you might be a good Christian, but you wouldn't be a good Catholic. And I didn't know much, but I knew enough that, well, Christians are these people in the Bible. And I was a good Catholic, and I wasn't worth anything. It's not hard to be a good Catholic. You just got to show up on Sunday and eat the cookie, have the wafer, and show up on the holy days of obligation. That's because you're obligated to show up, and my mother would remind me if I'd forgotten. But anyhow, I got up that right after he said that, and I pondered it for just a second or two. I got up and I left. I didn't know exactly what was right, but I knew that was wrong. And that's where you start. And there is such a thing as described as the spirit of bondage to fear, and the spirit of adoption. I'm here to tell you it's the same spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. You change when God gives you life. When the Spirit gives you life and comes in, you start seeing things that you never saw before. You start hearing and understanding things you never saw before. But I'm going to tell you something else. After you believe, things change even more. Because then His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I think that's the sealing Paul's talking about here. And it doesn't happen until after you believe. I still remember laying on that couch being miserable, thinking I might be going to hell, and somebody else being tickled to death that I was that miserable. Now, I understand it now, but it didn't help me feel any better at the time. That why are you rejoicing because I'm miserable? I didn't see being miserable as a good thing, but it is. It is. In whom? In Him. He may have to bring you down, but He's going to bring you down. He's going to bring you down. He has to. Because no matter what your opinion of yourself, it's too high. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about self-esteem here, even though self-esteem is involved. In Christ, there is no self-esteem. In Christ, there is Christ's esteem. But after that, I believed. The whole world was open to me. It had never been opened before. See, I believed Him. And things changed. For the better, they changed. It did. And it is still better. The Spirit is in you before you believe. And the Spirit is in you after you believe. Things change when you are given life from the Spirit, and things change after you believe. You are sealed after you believe. And it doesn't say here, if you believe a lot. It just says after you believe, you're sealed. See, there's some of them that try to say, well, you know, that may not be everybody. I think it is. I believe that's what Paul wrote. After you believe, you're sealed by the Spirit in Him. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit itself, Himself, is the earnest, the pledge of that inheritance that we have. We've obtained.
passively. We've obtained it, but the Holy Spirit in you is the earnest of that pledge.
Earl, I remember Earl describing this, talking about earnest money and real estate. Basically, what it comes down to, they call it earnest money. I call it a down payment because that's what it is. We have something, and we have, I don't want to use the word experience, but we have in our bodies right now the Spirit of God. That's just a taste of what is to come. That's the earnest. The knowing Christ that we know Him as now. But one day we're going to know Him even better. For we shall see Him as He is. Guess what? That's part of your inheritance.
There's more coming.
And that we have the Holy Spirit now, and that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's just the foretaste of glory to come. It's the earnest. It's the pledge. Christ said, I'm going to send a comforter. He's going to be with you. He's going to be what? In you. And He's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. So if you don't see the things of Him, you don't know the Spirit. And the Spirit don't know you. Yet. But if He can take this book, if you can take this book, and if you can hear, and I'm not saying my words are all that great, but if you can see Him in whom we have redemption through His blood, that's God's work. The Spirit is our earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. There is going to be a final redemption of this, what Christ purchased. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's going to be this gathering together in one all things in Christ. And again, unto the praise of His glory. That fellow preaching this morning I listened to, he pointed out three different times in the first 14 verses does Paul write the praise of His glory. I think that's pretty important then. All of this is done for the praise of His glory. We are to be to the praise of His glory. And it ought to be in our minds. It ought to be in our thoughts. It ought to be in our hearts. And it needs to be in our actions. As best we can. To do things to the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ, in whom we have everything. Everything we have is in Him. That job you got, Paul, whether they let you work at home or not, you got that from Him. The job I got from Him. And if He takes it away, that'll be from Him. I don't make it pleasant. That don't make it. But I do know that it works together to good to them that love God. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We are rich in Him. We have everything in Him. I wrote some things down. I'm going to finish with this. Everything concerning our salvation is in Him. Everything concerning eternity is in Him. Everything in life. And that means life on this world or life in Him.
is in Him.
We are chosen in Him as believers. We are chosen in Him. We have our redemption in Him. We are placed as sons in Him. We are in the household of God. I like saying that. And I like it even better thinking it. We are in the household of God in Him. We are members of God's family. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're family, and we can go to Him and say, Abba, Father. Thanks to the Spirit of adoption. Thanks to that sealing. We are fitly framed in Him. That's in another chapter. We are builded together in Him. We have an inheritance in Him. We are predestinated in Him, and we are complete in Him. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And every good and perfect gift that you have is in whom? It's in Him. It's in Christ. We got something to look forward to today. We got something to look forward to tomorrow. In Him. We are to rejoice. We are to be happy because we are blessed in Him. And I hope you are. I hope you are. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, we are thankful for Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies, in Christ. Everything You have given to us and all You are giving to us today. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.